Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Rainey, and I'm from Happier Valley House Church. And that let me open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just really thank you for this time that we can gather this morning and read your word. And despite all the social distancing restrictions, Lord, that you have enabled us just to come together as a church, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we read your word, Lord God, that you will speak to us directly and that our hearts would be are receptive to whatever you're speaking to us today, Lord. So we give this time up to you. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to the one app. Let's see. Today we'll be reading from John 4, 27 to 54. Just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek, or why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After 2 days, he departed for Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. For they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So we asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. And the second reading for today is 1 John 2:9-11. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So today the devotion starts off with making reference to the Samaritan woman. I think many of you are familiar with this story, but let me just give a quick recap. This Samaritan woman met Jesus at the well, and Jesus asked her for a drink. And the woman was puzzled and questioned Jesus why he was even talking to her. And then Jesus offers her living water that she would never thirst again. And the water he offers will be a fountain of water that gives eternal life. And then Jesus then reveals that she has had 5 husbands, and the one she is living with now is not her husband. So the Samaritan woman was surprised that she knew about, that Jesus sorry, that Jesus knew about her life. And then later on in the conversation, Jesus reveals that, you know, he's the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for. So after this conversation, this woman, we read that this woman leaves her water jar, runs back to town, and she came out here to draw water, the sole purpose of her coming to the well, but she leaves without her jar. And you can see that, you know, there is this sense of urgency or the need to tell others that she has met the Messiah who offered her living water so that she will never thirst again. She couldn't help but tell others this good news. And the other people were curious, so they had to see it for themselves. But why? What is so convincing about her or attractive about this living water that the Samaritan woman was talking about? I think people are desperate to feel satisfied and fulfilled. And oftentimes, people don't know how to fill that satisfaction. So they turn to all sorts of things to try to gain that satisfaction. But I think we as Christians know that this God-shaped void in our hearts can only be completed in Jesus. But we also turn to other things that give us a very short-term satisfaction. And sometimes it's so short-term that before we even know it, we are already praying to God to give us something else. And I guess this feeling is more pronounced right now because of what is going on in the world and with the war, the pandemic, and especially in Hong Kong. There's so much anger and hatred towards how things are being handled. I think people are dissatisfied and also want to escape, or they would want to turn to many other things to gain comfort. But in reality, you know, God is our ultimate source of satisfaction, and he is our source of comfort in challenging times. And also we know that, you know, the fullness of life can only be experienced in God. So going back to the story, you know, because of what this Samaritan woman has shared, the other people were drawn to it and had to experience it themselves. So once they have had an encounter with Jesus, they could not not believe. So in verse 42, we read that they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for what we have heard for ourselves and know that this one truly is the Savior of the world." I think this verse really resonated with me, also probably because I am participating in Alpha right now, not as a helper or volunteer, but as a participant, because one of my close friends had asked to attend this course, so we're doing it together. So I think from this reading, there are a few things that stood out to me. Firstly, you know, sharing experiences is very powerful. I think God has put people, Christians and non-Christians, in my life where we share similar experiences, challenges, you know, situations. And in hindsight, God has intended for me to cross paths with these people such that I am able to share how God had helped me overcome. I realize, you know, people become very engaged because they are actually seeking for a solution, but they haven't found one yet. So they clearly need help, but they don't know what to do, but they also don't know what to turn to. So I've had experience where, you know, once I share how I overcame through Christ and that this issue doesn't affect me anymore, they are intrigued to know more. And I think that is the first step for people to get to know Christ. And at the end of the day, there's only so much that I can share, but the ultimate thing is for them to experience God themselves, right? And then secondly, I think this just this reading reminded me that I cannot be results oriented. So in verses 37 and 38, it says, "Thus the saying, one sows and the other reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you did not work for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." So when I first took my faith seriously, I was like many other young Christians who was very on fire for God. And I brought quite a lot of friends to church and Alpha at that time. I think mostly because they were going through a difficult time, but once they came out of their situations, they weren't interested in knowing Jesus anymore. I think I became discouraged after multiple attempts. Bringing someone to Christ is not just about physically bringing them to service or alpha sessions, right? Like you need to invest in their lives. And it takes a lot of time, energy, and prayer. But then I later realized I'm very much part of their journey. Like I introduced this person to Christ, but it may not be my portion to see the fruit of it, or others may come along the way and bring this person to Christ. And, you know, in verses 37, 38 really gives me comfort in a way that it says one sows and the other reaps. And sometimes God sends us to harvest a field that we never worked for. So I may also be reaping the benefits of other people's labor. And it was important for me to remember, you know, salvation really belongs to the Lord. And I had to shift my focus back to God's portion for me, like what God had tasked me at this point in time. And if I kept looking to the results, then it would be really discouraging. I think thirdly, just be prepared, because God can use anyone or any circumstances to bring people to him. You know, in this story, he uses a Samaritan woman who is being looked down at in society. And regardless of this, she's able to draw people to Jesus. And we know from many of his stories, Jesus always chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And he also chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So I think I could recall from multiple experiences where I wasn't even evangelizing at all, but some of my friends would suddenly bring up the interest of going to church or knowing Jesus. And God is just unpredictable like that, because he is always in the business of redeeming. And I think there are always people around us that we can talk to about Christ. Thing not necessarily through words, but may also be through our actions or decisions. And so in verse 35, Jesus says, "Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields, that they are white for harvest." This devotion then moves on to another story, and it ends with Jesus returning to Galilee, the place where he performed his first miracle and turned water into wine. And this official approaches Jesus and asks him to heal his son, because his son is on the verge of dying. And Jesus says, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." But the official was persistent in his request, and Jesus said, "Go, your son is alive." The official believed, and he went home. I think the situation was dire. The official had probably already done everything that he could. He was persistent in trying every solution. I think when he first approached Jesus, he invited Jesus to come with him, and he probably thought Jesus' presence was necessary for his son to be healed. But then Jesus' initial response wasn't pleasant either. He said, "You would not believe unless you saw a miracle." But he wasn't shaken, and he persisted. And once Jesus said, "Go, your son is alive," he didn't raise any questions and immediately believed that his son was healed without seeing the results with his own eyes. And I think he knew that Jesus was his only hope at that time. And after what Jesus said, he didn't have a single doubt. I think sometimes we need to remove ourselves from solely focusing on the external circumstances and just take that leap of faith. And if we believe only after we have seen the evidence, it is merely a response or a reaction to what God has already done. And because of this miracle, not only did the official himself, but his whole household also believed. And I think God always does way beyond what we can ask or imagine. I think the official, his biggest hope was for his son to be healed. And yet God brings healing and salvation to his entire household. And the time of waiting or contending for a miracle always feels the longest. But when God finally comes through, he does not just give us what we want, but he exceeds our expectations and gives us above and beyond. And this makes it worth the wait. So I think as we move into a time of reflection, I would like to invite Annie to lead us into worship. And, you know, as we read earlier, Jesus is not concerned about eating and satisfying his hunger, but his more pressing concern is doing the will of the Father. So are there people around you that God has put in your heart to speak to them about the gospel, but you're putting it off? You know, Jesus says, the harvest is ripe, Or maybe you have been discouraged because you have been working on someone for a long time, but it doesn't seem like you're seeing any results. And then Jesus says, one sows and the other reaps. We need to step out in faith and trust that he is continually working. We just need to do our part and trust that, you know, God will take care of the rest because he cares more about that person than we do. Or is there something you have been contending for a long time? Take courage from the story of the official. The wait is long and uncertain, but when God comes through, he gives us above and beyond what we ask for. Let's move into an intercessory prayer right now from the One App. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray specifically today for healing and restoration and for an end to the COVID-19 pandemic and all its variants. Give scientists wisdom as they work towards a long-term solution. Give governments wisdom as they take decisions that affect billions of people. We pray for families bereaved and torn apart by the effects of the virus. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I think we move into corporate prayer right now. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and also going to chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray for God's full healing for our brothers and sisters. We pray for people who are sick and also to hear the word of God and need to receive salvation. So we pray for their physical and spiritual healing as well. And next, we move to pray for people who are suffering from infirmities, and we just pray for God's comfort and God's healing. Next, we pray for brothers and sisters in our community or their family and friends who are suffering from COVID. We just pray that they would be fully healed and there would be no side effects and that. We also pray for frontline medical workers. We pray for God's protection over them and also strength during this time of stress. Jobs. Pray for God's provision and that during this time they will also be able to use their time wisely and really be able to hear from God. We pray for SP Shanghai. We pray especially for Yansu and Kirikin, the churches of the world. And then next we lift up the board. We pray that they will have, the wisdom to make the right decisions and guide the church. We lift up the young adults, ministry, men's ministry, and women's ministry. Pray for God's presence to be strong over all the Bible studies and the prayer sessions.
You gotta sit in the toilet.
Wonderboy.
Oh, Auntie Bella, so nice to you. Carry you to the toilet. Don't make sure you look at where you're looking, don't we on the other way and go.
And then we pray for SBU 2.0, we pray for building and resources, we pray for the benefactor, and pray for the vision fund. For the pregnant for the church, pray that the pregnancy is smooth and that discomfort and that everything will be smooth. And we pray for house churches who are meeting today. And we just pray that these questions will be vibrant and the Holy Spirit's presence will be strong. People will be open to discuss and they just have a really good time at house church despite having to meet online. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come together and read your word and pray corporately as the church of God. And Father, I just pray that you will help us be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing around us, and that give us joy, Lord God, as we start the day. And I pray that this joy will just really overflow, that we would be really willing to share with other people as well, Lord God. Father, I pray that you will guide us and also lead us today, Lord God. And I pray that you will really protect us from everything that is going on out there, especially the pandemic and also the depressing situation. So Lord, we just lift this time to you. We thank you, Lord, we trust in you. We all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Have a great time, everyone. A personal prayer, and have a great day.